We would know who we are, that we could be raised up as sons of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit, flowing in signs and wonders and miracles like you said we could. You did it.
Yeah.
You didn't do it just because you were son of God. You did it because you were son of man with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And we're grateful for that, Lord. We're grateful for God stripping himself of his divinity, coming to the earth and manifesting through the Godhead, through the others, in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
we thank you for the angels, Lord. We thank you for what they did and what they're doing. We thank you for the messenger angels. We thank you for the guardian angels. We thank you for the warring angels. We thank you, Lord, that they're operating today. Prosperity angels, healing angels. We thank you for them, Lord. Most of all, we thank you for your power that is on us. The power of the glory of God that raised Jesus from the dead is on us right now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you. If you need prayer for your body, if you'll come down here right now, we'll pray for you. Anyone need to come down? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just stand right up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on up on the carpet. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Now, Jesus is the healer. Healing always comes. You just have to receive it. He always heals. He's always done it. Everybody that he came in contact with that asked him for healing, he did it. He just did it so easy. So what we do is we just prepare ourselves, and by the laying on of hands, when hands are laid on you, you receive the power of God, and you will be healed. And so if there be any oppression troubling you, if there be any illness, it can all leave right now.
That's right.
Deb, come help me. Thank you, Lord. And where's Ron? Ron, you come on this side, please. Help me. Thank you, Lord. What we do, if you'll notice what we do is, we'll all lay our hand on you at the same time. We call that point of contact. What that means is we're releasing our faith with you all at one time so that the anointing can hit your body and heal you. That's what we're doing. Amen. Okay, so, Father, in the name, thank you, Jesus. Total and complete healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Yep. I saw right when you received it. You ready? Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you now. Receive it. Receive the power. In Jesus' name, healed. Healed in the name of Jesus. Fully clothed in wholeness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus. Now, receive in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the anointing that removes every burden and destroys every yoke. In Jesus' name.
Show her how precious.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, the side. Thank you, Lord. Okay, ready? Right now. In the name of Jesus, receive the anointing. There it is. She received it right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen. I was listening to Caroline Leaf. You know who she is? Remember this. Your mind can heal your brain. Your mind can straighten your brain out. Your mind will. It's the mind of Christ. You just have to get your mind right. See, the devil's going to try to put all kinds of thoughts in you and get those chemicals and get that brain not working right. But your mind is not your brain. Your brain doesn't run your mind. Your mind runs your brain. When you leave Earth and you drop your glove here off and your spirit goes to heaven, your mind will be with you. It's not your in your body. Your mind's in your soul, and your soul is in your spirit. It's there with your spirit. And so your mind, all you have to do is take control. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Renew it with the Word, and your brain will be healed, or your thoughts will get clearer, or your neurological system, where maybe their nerve endings are messing with you or some kind of nervous thing, all that's connected to the brain, God will heal you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I felt like I need to say that again today. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a good day to be a Christian. There's a scripture over in Isaiah. Thank you. There's a scripture over in Isaiah 54. And I stand on this scripture. Says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, I condemn it in the name of Jesus. Shut up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So that's my heritage.
Yeah.
Amen. Every lying devil, every person that goes out there talking about me. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, John 6:1. John 6:1. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Y'all are kind of sitting in different places. Maybe it's because Art and Amanda aren't right there. It seems odd in here. Y'all are sitting in different places. Oh, y'all are sitting in different places. Like somebody sat in my seat. I had to move up. You're in your place. I see you. And you're in your... Okay, y'all are good. You know, some people get little memorial plaques and put... That ain't happening here, folks. Okay. John 6:1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And so we know this is the story of feeding the 5,000, right? Okay. So he fed 5,000 with a 2-piece fish dinner. Okay. That's what he did. So I want you to notice what he did though, right before he performed the miracle. He told them, make the men sit down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll read you the scripture. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. So, if you want to receive overflow in your life, and I do believe that this is, when we're going to look at 25... We're going to look at 25 and we're going to look at 26. These very well could be our years of overflow. Certainly spiritually, certainly physically, and especially financially. You could practically run and get it in the next few years. Okay? It's going to be available. You can already see what's going on. I'm sure even the news is kind of somewhat snappy these days, I'll tell you. But yeah, things are changing fast. And that's not because of just a man either, by the way. That's because the Great Awakening is here. Okay. Now, which we're thrilled with the man, but you know, men can only do so much. So, but if you want to receive overflow, and you should want to, you have to do what Jesus did. You have to have some organization in your life. That may be a word you didn't want to hear today. You may just wanted to hear, I just need it to happen to me. I don't want to do anything. But it is not going to be. You're going to have some organization. Listen, you have to take steps to unlock abundance. It's just a spiritual law. You take steps to do anything you do. And so, you know, one of the steps is you sow in faith. You don't just sow, you sow in faith. Another thing you do is you expect a harvest. And I'm not going to go down a long list of things today, but you reap by giving praise and thanksgiving. That's how you're going to reap your harvest. But then in the natural, execute a plan. Get ready for your abundance. Get ready for it. Jesus did. See, he knew this. He knew how to distribute.
Yeah.
Okay? Distribute, whichever country you're from there. Mm-hmm. He knew how to do that. And so it said here, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So there was the overflow. Yeah. You fed 5,000 people and there was stuff left over? Yeah. Yeah. So you gave, and you gave exactly like the Lord wanted you to, and there was money left over? That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
There should always be more than enough.
Yeah.
You should never run out of money before you run out of month.
Amen.
You should have an overflow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way God set it up. Because look, you're making him look bad. He's the provider.
Yeah.
He's got you an overflow. He wants you to look good. He wants to look good. Amen.
Amen.
He's worthy and he's wealthy and he wants you to look good. So, now, notice the overflow didn't start until the seed was given. Loaves and fishes. Obedience is the key that unlocks the overflow in your life. So when God calls on you to sow a seed, you start sowing. But this one couldn't have happened if there hadn't have been fish and bread.
Mm-hmm.
Now this morning, I'm going to actually bring this to you as soon as we roll over into the new year. I'm going to show you a report on the screen of what's happening with our church planting. Man, it's rolling right ahead.
Crazy.
And so, now what are we doing? We're distributing into Living Word,
mm-hmm.
and they're the feet on the ground.
Yeah.
But what did David teach us in covenant? He taught us that those that give are sinned, get just as much of a harvest as those who go. Is that right? Remember, it's a covenant written and it's still being held strong. David said those that stay back with the stuff, they're going to get their stuff just as much as those who went out to battle. So I was just looking at it this morning, and there will be over 50 churches in 5 years. There will be. And so there's Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico, 4 in the Congo, Ireland, Dominican Republic, a bunch of them.
Mm.
I mean, they're beginning to just come forth. I mean, they're really working them. But I'm going to bring you actual pictures so you can see a video of it. But so just our part of being distributors,
mm-hmm.
you're changing the world.
And
some of y'all may not give all the time, but somebody every month gives to this, and we keep giving. And, you know, we all gave a big lump sum in the beginning, and we're going to do that again. This is happening. But so breakthrough happens with significant seed. And sometimes it's going to cost you something. That's how people get miracles. They put their faith out there and they sow a seed, and some of them desperately need a miracle, and then all of a sudden, boom, they get it.
Yeah.
Church, sometimes I think we've been in this so long, we forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
People that are fresh to it, they're like, I'm going to do this. You remember what Brother Copeland did? He sowed a pencil. He didn't sow a pencil just to get in the offering. He sowed a pencil for Oral Roberts' anointing, because he became a partner with him. So he was sowing into something big, and then that lady chased him down and said, you've been worrying me. I've got $10 for you. So he ran and got the pencil out and put the $10 in. See, he was learning the principle here. He was learning what you do. You sow seed. You sow seed. And so we constantly sow seed. I constantly sow seed. You do. And so it's a good thing. Now, it says that they were filled and they gathered up leftovers. And so if they gathered up leftovers, that's overflow. Okay, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. It looks like to me that Jesus was always doing overflow stuff.
Amen.
That's what he was doing, and he's still doing it today. So if you need a breakthrough in your life, ask the Lord to show you what would be, listen, a significant seed. What's a significant seed? I'm asking right now, Lord, you have a significant seed do you want me to sow in the next days? Because what he's doing, church, is when he asks you for a, if he doesn't ask you for one, fine. Some people just won't listen because they don't want to know if he's going to or not. But I want to know because that means he's got my future in mind. And this has worked for me for years. I mean, he'll say, sow this, and right down the road, here's the situation. And boom, there's the finance for it. And so that's what he does. He gets you to sow so that you'll have a harvest when you need it and sometimes when you want it. Now, so anyway, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. He's always into overflow. Understand that a seed, just in case you're new here, not many people are, but if you're new here, a seed is above the tithe. Your tithe is, the tenth belongs to God. You don't sow the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. You give it to him. But the seed comes above that. So sow it above the tithe. Watch your breakthrough. And then remember this. Learn to execute a plan. Mm-hmm. Open a savings account. Mm-hmm. You could come up with $100 to open a savings account. Or get a piggy bank or something. Make a plan. Make a plan to do good. Now, so I'll just leave you with this thought. I'm not going to leave you, but I'll leave you with this. Learn how to distribute.
Yeah.
What is this for?
Yes.
If someone give me a $100 bill, $10 of it goes automatically back to God. Uh-huh. Okay, Lord, what is this 90 for? Is it for me? Can I go shopping? Uh-huh. Or is this for someone else? Do I need to sow it? Learn to think like that and become a part of God's plan. You're never going to run out.
Amen.
You'll always have food. You'll always have drink. Your vehicles will always be fixed. Everything will work. If you just do those things, you can count on it.
Yeah.
The motivation for accumulation is distribution.
Amen.
So we're not trying to just being a bless me club.
Right.
You know, we get a bad rap for being prosperity message. Well, it's better than being poverty message.
Absolutely.
Although that's popular. And then they beg. But we don't have to beg.
Yeah.
What we have to do is understand that we're living in kingdom finances. It's much bigger than just me and my house. We have the whole kingdom going, the whole flow of it, and we sow into whatever God shows us to, and then we reap a harvest.
That's right.
And you can reap one every time. Don't sit here and tell me, well, I didn't get that. Well, but you're not putting your faith on it. You're not thanking God for it. Thank God for it. It'll show up. It'll come in. You want a raise? Sow a seed. You want some more wealth? Sow a seed. You want a job? Sow a seed. Whatever it is, sow a seed. A seed will meet any need. It'll meet any need. Name it what you want. Well, I don't believe that. Well, when you went down to HEB over here and you bought some milk, you named that dollar milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. And you walked out with it. When they rang it up on the cash register. Well, they rang it up on the cash register. Beep. Yeah, they don't do that anymore. So they rang it up on. So, yeah, how old I am. They rang it up on there. It didn't come up and say dollar. How much is milk? I have no idea. About $5. Organic is $6. I'll take that one. Okay. So it doesn't come up and say $6. It comes up and says milk. Right? And see, I like what you did. You got specific.
Yeah.
Name your seed. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for every tither and giver. We thank you that this is Bible. We thank you that it comes from Mark 4. We thank you that it comes from Matthew 13. We thank you that it comes from Luke 8. We thank you, Lord, that the Apostle Paul talked about it over in Corinthians. And so we thank you that we become givers, and we are watching churches being built. We're watching a brand new wonderful place come up in Israel. We're watching a television station go around the world and a bunch of the people on it go around the world. We're watching this house do better. We're watching some community things that we're into do better. We thank you for all of the ministries that we're involved in. In Jesus' name, bless your people. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, brothers. All brothers today. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
If you would like to give via text message, you can give to VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link, complete your gift, or you could go online. There's a give button on the webpage, and you can give that way as well. It was on the blink for a little while, but it's back right again, so you'll be all right if you choose to do that. Amen. God is good. Well, how many of y'all are going to be in the cookie contest? Woo! All right. Baking cookies. It's going to be good. Be sure and have your picture taken in the little car. It turns out really funny. It looks really cute. So, praise the Lord. Let's go over to Luke 1:26. Good things are happening.
Yes, they are.
Breakthroughs are happening. Breakthroughs are happening.
Amen.
Your ministry is about to get stronger.
Hallelujah.
About to go further. Yes, it is.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. What is it, Lord? Okay. I just heard the Lord tell me to pray for Wichita Falls.
Okay.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Wichita Falls to you. Now, Father, what's ever going on there and the people there,
mm-hmm.
we thank you that you care,
mm-hmm.
and that you are moving and flowing and protecting. And we plead the blood of Jesus over the city there, and the people, the government, and anything that needs to be taken care of. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for dealing with the drones, bringing the truth forth. We thank you for the truth being coming forth about so many things right now. And we thank you for safety for the East Coast. You remember thermostats, we prayed for the East Coast recently. And so we pray, we plead the blood of Jesus over the East Coast in Jesus' name. And I think California as well. It's happening there and in Brazil, I think. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to know. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Jesus' name. Now, Luke 1:26. This is how to give birth to your God-given dream, unabridged, part two. And so if you didn't hear part one, you're going to need to go Wednesday night and hear part one. It was really good. It was all about days of preparation are never wasted. It was about character. It was about having character. Okay. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And the kingdom there will be no of his kingdom there will be no end." Thank you, Jesus, for that. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So we're working on how to give birth to your God-given dream. This year we're doing the unabridged version, first time we've ever done this. But we started out by talking about days of preparation. God prepares us for our callings, for the dreams on our lives. He wants us to go, what he wants us to go after in the earth. And so we used to give 5 points. And you all know, most of you who have been here for years know them well. And it's one of our favorites. But get the Holy Spirit, listen to him, and so on. But the Lord wanted me to back up and talk about days of preparation. And so we did. And one of the things that we found out is that Mary was not some random girl. She's just not some girl that God chose to pick out. She was prepared. She got prepared. Her parents sent her to temple school. They served God. They gave to God. I mean, they were like us. God was their life. And so she wasn't just any old little girl. So God's dream for you is always going to be one of success. It's going to be satisfying. And he accomplishes it through you. You have to use your faith, and sometimes you have to step over some things like she had to. There were some hard parts, but you can do it. So, we have to define success. And we may have all different opinion of success. Some people think it's just fame and fortune. I do not think that. I think it's just doing God's will is successful. And I do think that integrity is a big part of doing God's will. You have to have some character. God has an opinion, and his opinion is integrity. That's success. So you could get out there and wheel and deal. You can get out there and do all kinds of things and move this. And you know how I know that? I did that when I was young. We'll move this over to here and do the, what they used to say, borrow from Peter to pay Paul. And, you know, we can move this over here. We can do this. We can fix this. And then we'll be able to do this. And da, da, da. But I found out after a while that that wasn't exactly the way to go. Yeah. You can build character and you can use your faith and you can move forward. You can execute a plan like we just talked about in the offering word and things will go your way. But you have to have something called integrity. Well, okay, what is integrity? Do what's right, do it right because it's right. That's integrity. Make the right decisions that would honor God and honor the people around you. Praise the Lord. So is gossip integrity? No. All right. And we could go on with the list. All right. Now, about 95% of the people who are not where they want to be is due to character. It's due to character. That's the statistic on it. And you can find out, you could just, if you want to look at two things on a person and find out what their character's like, just look at their church attendance and their checkbook. And it'll show you who they care about. Amen. So character begins to show really quickly. Now, then we said this, we said there were specific things to know like this. God doesn't like vague prayers. He needs you to be specific. You got to spell it out, okay? You need to spell it out. Personalize the question then. This is another thing we talked about. Personalize the question that Jesus posed to the two blind men outside of Jericho. And this is the question. What do you want me to do for you? You need to tell Jesus what you want him to do for you. And then believe you receive it, and then it'll happen. Mm-hmm. Amen. You need to talk to him. Are y'all here?
Yeah.
Okay. Are y'all cold?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. John? He's got it. Praise the Lord. I was kind of liking the blizzard, but we'll turn it down. Praise the Lord. Okay. He's got it. Okay. So are y'all back? Okay, it's off. So, Maybe a prayer journal, not maybe, a prayer journal will help you. Because you'll remember what God said to you and what you said and how specific you got. And, you know, Brother Jerry used to write prayer petitions. And he would sign them. He and his wife would sign them. We declare this day. Those are good things.
Yeah.
So you have to be specific about what you want. What do you want Jesus to do for you? That's a major thing. I know I'm taking a little long on that, but I just want you to know that. So define your dream, claim your promise, spell out your miracle. And then know this. This is what we need to know. Most of the time, greater things are birthed in a prayer meeting than a planning meeting. And my staff will say yes to that. They've seen it over and over. The thermostats have while we're praying, all of a sudden God will say, do this. I think he does that because he knows then we can't back out. We can't just say, oh, that was a plan, maybe. No. But prayer meetings will get you, and praying will get you much further down the road than just planning. Prayer beats planning. Do you need to plan? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Fail to plan to fail. But you just also have to know that plan a prayer meeting because God's going to talk to you. Now, so let's look at this today. Just for a quick mention, when Gabriel told Mary what God wanted to do, she said those words, be it done unto me according to your word. That's big. That's really big because that's our whole stance on faith. If the word says it, let it be done. If the word doesn't say it, we don't want it. Amen. And so, let it be done according to thy word. So she's accepting the mission. She's accepting or receiving. Have a cookie. I'll take it. So whatever he has for her, she's doing it. So that's really major in our walk of faith, church, and in birthing your God-given dream. Whether it's better health or launching a company, you want to be able to say, be it done unto me according to your will. Amen. So if it says God is able to make every blessing abound in abundance, so I always have enough of everything and provide in abundance for every good work, be it done unto me according to your word.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's an easy way to circle a promise and plant it right there, just what I just said to you. Now, so most of us understand that. So what we have is days of preparation are never wasted. You're building character. Then in order to begin the process, you have to receive the word of God to do God's will. Now, verse 34 and 35. Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm not married. The angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come down to you and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Okay. Number one, in birthing your prayer, apart from little A and little B in the front or whatever the precursor that we had, the number one thing is be baptized in the Holy Spirit and constantly yield to him. Mm-hmm. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, the earth got baptized in the Holy Spirit on day one. On that day in the beginning, I'll say that. In the beginning, amen.
Yeah.
Okay, what do we know about that? Well, I'll just read it to you. So in case you've never read Genesis 1, I'll just say it to you real fast. Ronnie, you don't even have to go there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Now, it wasn't empty.
Right.
It was, in Hebrew, it was tovu bavohu. It was a mess. It was dark. Okay. And that means the easiest way Miss Billy explains it is it's when you clean up your whole house and everything looks beautiful and then you open the door to your teenager's room. Okay, that's the difference. Okay, so it was a mess because Satan had fallen, okay, and it was dark. But now God's going to bring light. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Well, what he did in Hebrew was he recoughed. He hovered over what God was about to create. So he's like there on the ready. Okay. He's hovering over this. Well, that's what he did to Mary. Only in the Greek, it's episkiaso. He's hovering over Mary. And when she said, be it done unto me according to thy word, boom, Jesus was conceived. That's when your promise is conceived. It's conceived when you, when Holy Spirit is there and God is there with you and wants something to get done and you say, this is it, I receive it, boom, it's conceived. And it's, you got a little baby dream in your spirit. Amen. So that's what happened right there. And then from there, Mary was led by the Spirit. She was led by the Spirit. So the Word and the Spirit are working together here. Father had a plan, Creator spoke it, and Spirit empowered and nurtured it. Got that? Father had a plan, Creator, Jesus. Creator spoke it, Word. Spirit empowered and nurtured it. And that's how it's going to work for you. Now, God has a truth or a plan. The spoken word gets it started in your dimension. Let me add that. And the Holy Spirit empowers and nurtures it. So when you're born again, let's just look at it on a level that where everybody, make sure everybody gets this. You're born again. When you got born again, the day you received Jesus as your Savior, Holy Spirit came inside you. Yes, he did. Yeah, I did. But that wasn't the end. Then one day you yielded and were baptized in the Spirit. And he came up on an overflow. That's what we're talking about, overflow. So he overflowed to the point you yielded so much that you yielded your tongue, which James said is the hardest thing to yield. Now you see what's going on here? If you finally yield your tongue, that's when you're really giving up to Holy Spirit. That's why, okay, I can't speak in tongues. I can't speak in tongues. I don't know how to pray in my prayer language. Yield. Don't try. Yield. In fact, that's the whole secret to living in God. Yield. He does it. He's the power. Okay. And so, but so you received him. Well, Holy Spirit, he's in the center of your being. You get baptized. That's a time of yielding. And then comes that overflow. You're totally submerged in the Holy Spirit. You keep yielding. That's what's going on with Mary. That's what goes on with us all the time. Okay, he hovers, you yield. Just say that. He hovers, I yield. Got it. Okay. Now, so, well, why is that so important? Why are you taking so long on that, Pastor? Well, let me answer it with a scripture, okay? This is 2 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed us to them through the Spirit which searches all things. So we're spirits just like God is. You can't reach God with just your carne. You can't reach God with just your thinking. You have to reach God with your heart. So you can't just think. That's why people get in trouble. They want to just think and make plans out of just what they can come up with their mind. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he knows what God has planned for you, and it's good. The Spirit knows all things. The Spirit knows the what? The deep things of God. So he not only knows what you need, he not only knows how to get you there, but he knows all the good stuff along the way and the best path to take to get there. Amen. And so that's the reason why you want to be filled with the Spirit and overflowing with the Spirit. It helps, no, he helps very much with your decision making. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, so he's got the power, he's got the anointing, he knows how to get it done, and you're not on your own strength. It's the blessing, it's the favor, it's the anointing, it's the wisdom that's coming from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And by the way, you can quit calling him the Holy Spirit. Just call him Holy Spirit. That's who he is. He's a person. And he's the most important person in your life right now. Oh no, Pastor, Jesus is the most important. Right now, the Holy Spirit, V-R-He, Holy Spirit, is the most important thing or person in your life. Because he's talking all the time. He's talking all the time. You need to be led by him. Why do we pray for Wichita Falls? Because the Holy Spirit just told me a while ago, pray for Wichita Falls right now.
Yeah.
We'll find out why.
Yeah.
You got to listen.
Yeah.
Got to be, but you can't hear him if you're not submerged, if you're not engaged.
Yeah.
You don't know his voice if you're not engaged. How many of you would know your spouse's voice on the phone as soon as they hit it? You know?
Yeah.
Why? Because you live with them. You know their voice. You hear that voice. You know exactly who it is.
Yeah.
It's the same with the Holy Spirit. You'll know his voice if you hang around him or not. Amen. All right. Number two. Your relative Elizabeth is also going to have, this is verse 36, is also going to have a son, even though she is old. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months she will have a son. For nothing is impossible with God. Now, so number two, to make your baby dream come true, hang around with bigger dreamers than yourself. See, Elizabeth knew more about pregnancy than Mary did. She was already down the road on it. And so she could give it. Every one of us that are mothers, as soon as someone starts talking that they're going to have a baby, we start telling our stories.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the first thing? It took Toby 9 hours to get here. It took... Every, how long? It took Irie, how long? It took Jesse a long time to get here. You know, I just remember that. But we start talking about it. Oh, they were how many pounds? Oh, they were this. Oh, the baby. Isn't that true? We all have some information that we're going to give the expected mother about that. And then they'll also help you with, it's shaped like it's probably a boy. Yeah, I'll leave that alone. Praise the Lord. But anyway, This woman knew more than Mary did. And by the way, when they met each other, the baby in Elizabeth leaped.
Yeah.
Because the Savior had just walked in the room.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
And so there's another spirit thing right there. Amen. But see, you hang around people that are smarter than you, mentors, people that know something. You don't know everything. We don't know everything. We need to hang around people that know something. Amen. So, really, truly, there's only one shortcut in life, and that's a mentor. Otherwise, you're going to learn the hard way. You're going to learn the hard way. But if you have someone, I'm telling you, the day we moved up here, Pastor John, well, I'd already been working with him for a long time, and he taught me a lot of things. But he really began talking to me. Now, you're going to be disappointed if you do this. Now, do this. You know, I mean, he was able to lead me through so many things that helped me escape a lot of things. And one of the things he told me was this. He said, and I'll just tell you this because it stuck with me forever. He said, never listen to hearsay and never repeat any of it. And he also taught me about sarcasm. Sarcasm is lying to your spirit. When you say things sarcastically, you'll lie to your spirit. Like, well, we really liked that one when you really didn't. See what I'm saying? Well, that was really great when it was really horrible, you know. So sarcasm is lying to your spirit. Y'all are all going, oh, I love Pastor John. He had all those great things like that. I'm sure he's teaching them to Paul the Apostle right now. That's a joke. Okay. Now, so what I would do right here, I would avoid the know-it-all. Right? Because usually the know-it-all is the one who wants to push and coach everybody and you know, they want to work on you when you don't want to be worked on.
Oh.
Really? Isn't that true? And they just know everything and they're just miles ahead of you. And you can pick that up pretty fast. You're pretty smart. And so, but that person really is just wanting to prove how smart they are.
Yeah.
It's somehow, for me, I don't know about for you. Let's just get personal for a minute. When people try to prove something to me, I'm pushed away. I'm like, no, you don't need to prove to me that you can whatever, you know. Doesn't mean I don't love them, but, you know, just trying to prove, you know, God will show you things. about people. Hey, there's an anointing on that one. Hey, they're called to this. Hey, you can have some discernment about you. And so, but there are people who just want to push themselves, and I would avoid that person. If someone comes to you and says, I think I'm your mentor, probably not.
Yeah.
I can remember, y'all may, I know Bill probably remembers, but there was a Mata probably remembers. There's a time frame. I know Ron remembers because he was involved in some of this, but remember when, y'all probably remember when of course the prophets and the apostles came back on the scene, which was good. It was good that we started identifying apostles and prophets in this day and time. But then there were these apostles who decided they were other people's apostles. And so there's actually a guy who came by the church and said, I'm apostle, blah, blah, blah. And I believe I'm supposed to be the apostle over your church. Now, isn't that interesting? We had no relationship with them. See, all my life in being in God has been about relationships. And so, I'll pick someone to work for me because of how close they are to me more than all of their titles and everything or how good they are. It's what kind of relationship I have with them. Well, Pastor was the same way. But when people go around, and I mean, it went wild. I don't know if y'all remember that. It went wild in the body of Christ. Everybody thought everybody was everybody's apostle, and I'm their apostle, and I'm apostle so-and-so, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just so glad that kind of moved off, and everybody understands there are apostles. Pastor John is an apostle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, apostle means sent one. We actually apostled this church,
right.
Us four, Pastor John and Ann and me and Deb, they helped promote us, but we came here. So usually the apostle starts something, amen, and there's fatherhood, the spirit of fatherhood involved.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I didn't bore y'all too much with that. But I just want you to understand what the page looks like here when you're talking about mentors. God will draw you to the mentor.
Yeah.
So I've met Brother Copeland a couple of times and hugged Gloria, but I haven't ever sat down alone with them, but he sure has mentored me. If you read and follow someone, and I'm telling you, Pastor Nancy, the same way, I do know her. I have been with her a little more than Brother Copeland, but you can pick up a lot just from knowing what person really lights your fire and you follow after them. Amen.
Yeah.
And then there are people who will personally be your mentor and God will lead you to them. Now, number three, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then she went back home. Number three is don't share your dream with everyone.
Yeah.
Don't share your dream with everyone. Hide your dream in your heart while you need to. Hold fast to your dream, but don't let the dream thieves have it. Now, dream thieves, of course, Satan is the dream thief. He's going to try to steal it. We understand that. But did you know that friends and family? Family. Now, honey, Mama doesn't want you to get hurt out there. That's too big for you. Now, honey, you can't do that. Now, dear, it's going to be really hard to be a woman preacher in this world. Well, honey, you can't run that company. Your brother might be able to, you know,
these
family and friends. My family have actually walked up to me and said, I can't believe it. You've done so great. I'm like, thanks for believing in me the whole time. And then, you know, and then friends kind of will mess with you sometimes. Those who love you want to try to keep you in a box because they want to keep you safe. But then there's time. Time is a dream thief. Too much time has passed. I didn't get it done. I might as well let it go. That's what the enemy tries to tell you. You're not going to be able to do it because you've wasted too much time. No, you haven't. Just get on that pony and ride. You can do it. Amen. All right. And then there are comfort zones. You know, I just wonder how many people miss the big picture for their lives because they clung to the little tiny part that made them feel secure.
Yeah.
That little tiny part. I just rub somebody right there, but I'm telling you the truth. Just that little piece of life that you just hang on to because it makes you feel secure. But comfort zone, sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
I think the number one thing I grew up hating most in my life was public speaking. I'm telling you the truth. I don't want to get in front of anybody. Don't want to say anything. Failed speech. Didn't take it over. Did not want to get in front of people. And what does God do? But the thing is when I heard the truth, I couldn't stand it. I had to tell somebody.
Yeah.
And they started gathering up in our living room because I had to tell people what I was learning. And I have never quit. So you get over those things when you start flowing in God's dream. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You're quiet. Failures along the way. Listen, Lincoln failed, Ford failed, Edison failed. Even Jesus died on the cross. But I'm telling you, he died for resurrection purposes. So if you have the death of a vision sometime, get ready to pick back up and go, because it's going to rise up and happen. You don't have to lose. Is that, well, mama, it's all dead and gone. No, it's not. Jesus is alive. As long as Jesus is alive, it can go forward. Well, I think that relationship's over. Maybe not. Maybe it'll come back around in another chapter. Amen. Well, we plan to do this. Well, you know, it is just not working out. But it can come back around. It can happen. Amen. All right, number four. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes. I like that. And laid him on a bed of hay because there was no room for them in the inn. Number four, have the baby when it's time. Have the baby when it's time. Not before, not after. We all know that early births are not the best. And they can cause some problems. And we know that overdue is not great because the placenta gets old and things. And everything is all right if it happens. But it's better to do it, to get that dream out there when it's time. Because timing is important. And church, particularly now, timing is important. Timing is important. We have to get our minds off of ourselves.
Yes.
We have to. It is time to move forward and think about somebody besides me.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Time's shorter than we think. People have to come into the kingdom of God. Churches have to be built. Evangelists have to go. Things need to happen in nowadays. We have to preach the truth as fast and hard as we can. Get people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Move forward because Jesus is coming.
Yes.
And we care about people. And we want them to come in.
Amen.
Thank you for it, Lord. And so we're going to have to get out there and get these dreams born. For one thing that the Lord showed us, it wasn't in a planning meeting. I would say that there's probably 5, 6, 8 people in here who actually heard this. We were praying in the thermostats, and the Lord told us to build a studio. Now, like a studio to broadcast in. And so we do have it, have the plans, and we started moving forward on it some, and we're starting to decide how we're going to do it. Well, how's that going to help the church? It's going to help everybody. It's going to get the word out. It'll bring people in here. It'll also get some of you need to get out there and put something out. You can use it, and we're going to use it. And so, but what we have to do is we have to get the plan and get moving on it and birth that baby dream. Amen. Not everything is us just giving out to all the other ministries. Some of it we need to build some things here. And we are involved in some things in town. Danny really keeps up with the Highland Lakes Crisis Network, and we do stuff with them, and we do other things here. But this is one thing we need to launch. But this came, and we need to get it done in a timely fashion and not have God waiting on us. Amen.
Right.
Okay, now, here's the unabridged part of this, having the baby when it's time. Hear me out on this. It's important to know that you're not just here for your lifespan of dreams. Okay?
Yeah.
Now listen to me. Think about Daniel. He dreamed for 70 years and never stopped praying. Okay? He knew that it wasn't going to come to pass in his lifetime. He already knew that. But he still prayed. And he wasn't a procrastinator. He didn't start praying on year 69. He went ahead and prayed for what was going to happen in the future. And we still see Daniel being played out. It's good. The end times is going to really be played out by Daniel, right? Y'all know the scriptures. Okay, so he's just a real good example of why what I just said is so important. We're not just living the life for us. I'm living the life for Avery's children, for Irie's children, for Kendall's children, for Addie's children, for all of your children's children.
Yes.
We have to have something in place for them, something solid, just in case Jesus doesn't return in the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. We want this to be good. And while, even if we all rapture in 7 years, we want their lives to be good right now. We want them to have the mind of Christ and have things working for them and have their dreams coming true. Addie, how old are you? Okay, Addie already has a business. She's 13. She does well in it, and all she has to do is walk next door and take care of my dogs. And so, and she's making money, I'm telling you. But, I mean, think about that. We begin to train our children, flow with our children, flow with them in the spirit. I'm telling you, these kids in here know stuff, y'all. They're not just, when I say kids, I mean 20 on down. They're not, hey, Holy Spirit is not a baby spirit in little kids. Journey has as big a Holy Spirit in him as I do. Okay, so it's not just for us, so we need to be aware of that. Sometimes some dreams have they're long and boring. What about Simeon and Anna? They're living in the temple, praying in the temple until Jesus shows up. Anna was there almost her whole life waiting for the Messiah. Almost her whole life. So don't fuss at me if I keep preaching on the glory. I actually had someone come to me and they laughed at me and they said, "You're still preaching on the glory?" I said, "Yes. I have a promise. I have a promise about the glory. The glory of God is going to fully manifest in ways like you have no idea about in my church and my lifetime. And maybe it's tedious. Maybe it takes a while to get everybody on the same page, ready to receive the glory of God. But we will.
Yeah.
It's part of the dream.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So some of those things take a while, but we keep going, don't we? Praise the Lord. I have a promise, church. We're going to have it. My baby was 2 weeks late. It was long. I remember looking out the window saying, "Jesus, get this baby out of me." I did. I looked like Cherie. Y'all have to see her in her snowman sweater. I mean, the snowman's really puffy. It's so cute. I'm still thinking about it. She was out the house the other night. I'm still thinking about that snowman. It's so cute. Anyway, but when he came, when he was born, he's the greatest accomplishment of my life.
Yeah.
That boy is a good boy. He's a good man. And so, you know, but it was for his destiny. I just had to get him here. Put into him whatever I needed to, grow him up. But he turned out to be a good man. He's a good man. And he has integrity. And I'm telling you, it was long. It was tedious. Jesus finally got him out of there. See, y'all understand this? It's the mama that's delivered. They say, "We're going to deliver your baby." No, the mama's getting delivered from the baby. Am I right? The mama's getting delivered.
Yeah.
The men like have no idea. They're like, "Oh, yeah. You're going to have an idea when you start hearing that screaming." No, I'm just kidding. No, no, it's not happening. That easy birth right there in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, now number five. We'll start closing. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. When the men went to the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and gave them to him. So here it is. This is number five for birthing your God dream. Okay? The day you say yes to the dream, provision will rise up and begin to come to you. Okay? It'll come to you. Just like the wise men came to finance Jesus, provision will rise up to finance what you're doing. It'll happen. If you say, God, I'm going to do it. You watch the studio. God will pay for the whole thing.
Amen.
Well, I don't want him paying for it with my part. We're not asking you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it with whatever money God provides, wherever he gets it from. We've already had extra money come in from people that don't even come to this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, it'll rise and he'll bring the provision. Listen, look at the word. Provision. If you get a vision, he'll provide for the vision. Church, you gotta get used to the fact that God's the provider. God is the provider. He wants to be the provider. Yield to him being the provider. So you get the vision. Now, listen, if you don't even need any anointing or money if you're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying God just provides you with your household and what you need, and you could just be happy like that. But if you're going to do something for God, yeah, some money.
Right.
You're like, well, I don't know if what I'm doing is for God. Are you raising your family? That's for God. Are you doing something for your grandchildren? That's for God. Are you a prayer? That's for God. Do you have a business? That's for God. Are you helping other people have businesses? That's for God. Are you out there witnessing to anyone? That's for God. Do you have little times when things come up and you go, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to have this little thing we're going to do. We're going to put on this. Or that's for God. Whatever it is she's showing. Painting for God. Art for God. Music for God. Podcast for God. Television show for God. Helping people for God. Caring for people for God. All of those things are valuable to him. Somewhere, right deep down inside you, there's a plan. And there's several plans. And there are goals to get to those plans. And Wednesday night, I'm going to give you 10 steps to know how to create goals.
Mm, cool.
But you're going to have to get the plan.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And know that provision will come.
Yeah.
Listen, what did it say? He said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, nothing is impossible with God. He said those things. Nothing is impossible with God. Whether you're in something you want to get out of, whether you're out of something you want to get into, whether there's something you want to birth, whether there's something needs to get off your body, dream to be healthier, dream to be... One of the things that our leadership said, it was so precious to me. We had the most precious time Friday night. Talking with our leaders, as a couple of people said, I want to grow.
Yes.
My vision is to grow.
Yes.
That is probably the greatest thing I've ever heard,
yeah,
that they want to grow.
Yeah.
That man right there said it. He wants to grow. He wants to grow. He wants to grow up in the things of God. What a great vision. What a great plan.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. I want to grow.
I
want to. I want to have even more integrity. I want to do what God's calling me to do.
Yeah.
But whatever the dream is, God's got the plan. The provision came for this building. The provision came for the building before and the one before that. And the provision's coming for the campus we're going to build.
Yes.
It's coming.
Yeah.
The provision came for my house. The provision came for everything that's on that place. The provision came for the place next door. The provision came for your place. Mm-hmm. Well, I want some land. God will provide. Well, I want to be debt free. God will provide. Well, I need to reach more people in my ministry. God will provide. He'll give you the tools. Well, I feel like I'm not doing what I should do. My only dream is to move forward and get out of this. God will provide. Whatever it is. Whatever you want to build, whatever you need to move, whatever you need to grow in, whatever. God will provide. He wants to. Take that right now. He wants to provide. He'll do these things, church. He'll actually do these things. Praise the Lord. Daniel's dream was part of Jesus' mission. Isn't that amazing? Here's the unabridged part for you and we'll close. Those wise men that came to the house. Who were they? They came from, that's right, they're the Magi, and they came from Daniel's prayers. They were wise men that came along and that were birthed there under Daniel. They weren't his children, but they were his spiritual children, if you will, if we can say it like that. And so he made this whole force of wise people. Listen, church, those guys were kingmakers. They were kingmakers. When they came to town, Herod would probably wished he had to shut those doors. Cause he was probably thinking this, they could take me out, not kill him. They're so prominent that people would say, we don't want that. That's how they were. They're really worthy. And so, but how did they happen? Daniel's prayers. Yeah. So how's Carter's my grandson. So I birthed Toby. Toby birthed Carter. Well, Megan did. But, you know, but so now Carter's going to have children and that child will have. So I can pray right now. I can pray for Carter's wife now. In fact, I've been praying for Carter's wife a long time. Amen. We're already praying for Elijah's wife. Amen. For Presley's husband. We're already praying for that.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not too soon. I told y'all the story of the, I better tell it because not everybody was here. So and we got lots of time. The two people, were going to have a baby. And so she's already pregnant. They didn't want to find out what it was, but they wanted to pray for a name. And so they started praying for the name. And first they got Jessica. So they kept praying, Jessica, we're praying for Jessica. And then after a while they heard the name Timothy and they were like, okay, well maybe Jessica's going to be our second born or Timothy will be our next child. So they started praying Timothy. Well, somebody told them that they could also pray for, the baby's spouse. And so they thought, well, okay. Well, so when the baby's born, it's Timothy. Mm-hmm. Who does Timothy marry? Jessica. Jessica was conceived when they were praying for Timothy. And we prayed for her. See?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's so good. That leads me to think, but do y'all know what precession is? Not procession, but precession. A lot of people don't use the word. Have you ever thrown a rock in the water and the waves go out? Have you ever seen that? Okay, so how an object in motion affects another object in motion. Okay? How an object in motion affects another object. So that's not just a law of physics, but it is. Right? Okay. It's a picture of prayer.
Oh.
It's a picture of prayer. Hmm. How an object in motion affects another object in motion.
Hmm.
Everything we do has a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Has that ripple effect.
Yeah.
So if someone's rude that day, I'm telling you, you got to go home and sanitize your spirit.
Yeah.
If they're rude to you at the store, sanitize your spirit. Forgive them. Drop it off. Whatever they say that you don't, just get rid of it. But kindness has a ripple effect. And a lot of times when people are kind, whoever they're kind to, the next day will be kind to someone. And then that person will be kind to someone. I feel that. and then that person. And when someone reaches out in love and they love someone, that affects the next person and the next generations. And so prayer does that. So when we pray for the service, and y'all come in here and pray with me back there. So I have these notes, but I'm hardly ever do exactly the notes, because whatever we prayed put the Spirit in motion to do what whoever would be here needed. You see, my subjects are not, the subject usually doesn't change, but the way it's presented and the things that are added are dropped in there by the Holy Spirit because of who's in the house and who needs to hear what. And so then there's that ripple effect here, so that Kendall would go home hearing something that meant something to her, while Rachel would have gone home hearing something else that ministered to her, and so on and so on. And then they might repeat it to another person, and it would go on and on and on. So your kindness does that, but your prayer is powerful. And your prayer doesn't start. Prayers never end. They go forward. And so they're so powerful. Debbie, what did the word say this morning? Intent and purpose. Our prayers were intentional or intense. Was it intense or intent?
Intent.
Intent and purpose. Very focused on what needs to happen. So when we're back there praying at the 9:40 meeting, the ripple effect is happening. It's happening. But what's going on there? It's not, oh Lord, we thank you that we're going to have a lovely service. We bind you, devil. Don't come in here. You know, that's not all it is. It's just, there's so much happening in that moment. So much happening. We don't realize the power of our prayers. This is the unabridged part of making your dream come true. Church, one of my major dreams is to make sure that everyone in this house knows how to pray, especially in this day. Well, I like a silent prayer. Well, you're not being biblical. You got to pray out loud. You can go pray by yourself, but you need to pray out loud. Silent prayers are fine if you think you're doing something, but words have to be spoken. It's a sword of the Spirit. Well, I just want to feel. Well, it's not going to happen. What you want to do is pray what Holy Spirit's saying. Church, you can look and look and look and beg and pray for your answer for years, but if you'll hear what he's saying, that door will open. Okay? It'll open. Amen. Now, the kids are having fun. Praise the Lord. Learn to pray, church, and not just for your needs. Nothing expands our circle of influence like prayer. Nothing. Well, my ministry is out there. Well, your prayer ministry is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. The biggest ministry I have is my relationship with God and praying. That's the biggest thing. Whatever I can. The Lord told us a long time ago, your declaring ministry is so important. Whatever you're declaring.
Yeah.
And just go along with the flow. Well, it's like this. Well, then it's always going to be like this. Your prayers are changing things. They'll change things. Lord, when I go into this place today, I take authority, and while I'm in there, miracles will happen. When's the last time you prayed that, or did you just say, I wonder if there's a grocery basket up front? You don't even have to say anything. I was in the produce store. It was me and you. We were in the produce department. Someone came up and said, can y'all pray? Not here. This is in another town. That we didn't even have a church back then. We were just Holy Ghost people. And they said, we could just tell y'all are shining. We need prayer. And right there in front of the tomatoes. Amen. You got the power, church. You got the strength. Got the dream. The dream. God's dream in you.
Yes.
God's dream in you is for you to be powerful. God's dream is for you to step out.
Yes.
For you to use those hands. Just use those hands for the glory of God. Let me see your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that these are hands for miracles. Hands for miracles. Hands for miracles. In Jesus' name. Whatever has tried to stop the flow in any way for my sister, it's released right now in the name of Jesus. And she flows like never before in the glory of God. Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Better and better and better and better and best. Just gonna roll. Just gonna roll. Just gonna roll. The testimony of your life will right now is rippling and changing about 30 people around you right now. Just by the way you flowed, your church attendance, your behavior, your integrity with your wife, all of those things are testifying right now. But I'm going to step it up, says the Lord. I'm going to make you wealthier than you've ever thought about. I'm going to bless your children and your children's children, and it's going to show from here to eternity. So wear the hat, my son. It's on you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just heard someone say, you know, I have some plans, but I'm not very well equipped, and I don't have time. I don't have time. What did we say? We said time was a dream thief. Doubt is a dream thief. You have time. Yeah, you do. You have time. If you came here today, you did the right thing. Because faith comes by hearing. Well, I could have done something else today. No, this was the thing to do. Because now you're empowered. This is what you do. That's what church is for. The Bible says not to forsake yourself, the assembling together, as some have. And they fail. Because when you forsake assembling, you get out from the sheep flock and the wolves are out there. But when you stay close and huddled together and you flow and you go into the pastures that God created you to come into and you stay together, there's less attack that can happen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all received this today? Father, we thank you for these steps. We thank you, Lord, that we can birth our baby dream. We thank you, Lord, for them. We thank you, Jesus, for them. We thank you, Lord, that we can declare the word over our life. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can be mentored and hang around people bigger than us. I thank you, Lord, that we can protect the dream from the dream thieves. I thank you, Lord, that we can have the baby on time. I thank you, Lord, that you will provide for every dream and every vision in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord. If Mary delivered a dream, we can deliver a dream because you are the dream, Lord. You're our dream. And we're going to deliver you to everyone we can in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye. They're doing that to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for just a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Just by a show of hands, how many of you already have a very specific that you know it's God's dream right now? Let me see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those right now who some are wanting to know, but some have very specific. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the power and the anointing on those dreams right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. Lord? Thank you. Okay, come up here. Y'all come up. The ones that raise your hands only, come up here. Just the ones that raise your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Specific dream. I'm not going to ask you, but if I ask you right now, you could very easily just tell me. You could just tell me what it is. You very easily could just tell me what it is. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Everybody knows the specific dream that God put in your heart. Now, what you want to do, what God said, and you know it's God. You absolutely know it's God. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, what do you want me to do? You called them up here. Now you show me. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yes. Okay. I hear that there are a cloud of witnesses paying very close attention right now. And so heaven is going to agree with you right now. Do we have any ushers? Okay. We're going to start with David, and then I'm going to come back to the three girls because they're on the Christmas tree. So, all right. Father, heaven agrees right now. We call for the provision. We call for everything necessary. I agree in the name yes. of Jesus. The anointing to bring it forth.
Yes.
The anointing to bring it forth. 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 In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Receive it. Jesus' name. The anointing to bring it forth. That dream. The anointing to bring it forth in the name of Jesus. The anointing to bring it forth in the name of Jesus. Now you have it. The anointing to bring it forth. The anointing to bring it forth. Settled in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Yeah, I hear you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to do one more altar call here. It's 11:45, so we're going to take 5 more minutes, and then we'll dismiss. If you are going to Israel, come up here. If you're going or going back, come up here. You've got to begin to get this dream rolling.
Yes.
Okay? You've got to roll the dream. You've got to begin to roll it. So you're going to, here's what you're going to do. You're going to have to do what we talked about in the offering word. You got to get your little savings account going.
Yeah.
Because last time I went, it was about $6,000. So that's way easy for God. And sometimes it's cheaper. What was y'all's about?
64.
Okay. So, you know, you probably want to save about $7,000. And so, but I'm going to tell you something. If you will start the fund,
yeah.
it will fill up.
Yeah.
We just started a fund, and lo and behold, someone paid our way, both of ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Now, this is everybody that's going to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the plan is, for most of us, we're going when Miss Billy opens the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that could be 24 months. So you want to get this thing going, make a plan.
Yeah.
To get it going.
Mm-hmm.
So start, set aside $10, then $20, And don't go get it if you run out of something. That's just treat it like a tithe. Okay? You can't take it. You don't steal the tithe. You don't ever mix God's stuff with your stuff. It's dangerous. Hey, I got to tell y'all this. That's what pastors do. Okay. So, I have an anointing to travel. And so I'm about to release it on you. And I have, for over 30-something years, wherever I've wanted to go, God has paid my way. I've been to Europe. I've been to Israel. I've been all over the Caribbean. I've been all over America. And I'm going back to some of those places. But we should go together. Wouldn't that be a blast? But Miss Billy would have her hands full with all these victory people. But you go when you want to go, but I hope you go with us. Amen. Okay, so this is Bobby going with us? Okay, all right. And we're standing in for Bobby. All right, now, Lord, what are we going to say? The Jews say, next year in Jerusalem. That's what they say. Well, I don't know if it's next year. I'm going to say next year's in Jerusalem, okay? Because we're not sure if it's a 24-month period, okay? Ready? Next year's in Jerusalem. Woo! Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Next year's in Jerusalem. 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 Next year's and for Cherie in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Come on, guys. Next year's in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. And for Danny, in Jesus' name. Next year in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Sorry. Next year's in Jerusalem. I'm laughing and coughing. Next year's in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Next year's in Jerusalem. Give God some glory. It'll change your life. Have y'all been? You need to go. Have you been? I'm telling you, the Bible is alive. So me and Chip Brim were standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he just looked at me and he said, "He stood right here. He stood right here." And then we were in Capernaum, and it wasn't the temple, it was a synagogue. The ruins were up here. And so right across the street is Peter's mother's house, or Peter's house, whoever it was. And so Miss Billy says, "Let's all go over to Peter's house." So while they went over to Mr. Peter's house, I decided I was going to sneak up on the synagogue. So I got to stand up in the synagogue and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel." And it was just the most important. Jesus did that there. I got to stand where he stood and say what he said that changed the world. Isn't that awesome? And so a few months later, they show me a picture in a magazine that I'm standing up there. Remember that? It's a video. That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, praise the Lord. So proof. Glory to God. Isn't God good? We're going places. We're going places in the spirit, Lisa. We're going places in the spirit. It's big now. It's big now. We're going to have the glory of God. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. We're 1 minute late. Thank you, Jesus. We're early, because when the glory comes in here, y'all won't ever want to leave. When it gets thicker, it's here right now. He's here right now doing marvelous things in your heart right now, right now. Pretty soon, though, you're going to see things, and you're going to be in amazement at all God can do. All right, now next Sunday, just in case some of you don't come on Wednesdays, so I'm going to tell you right now, next Sunday, we're going to get a ticket when we come in, okay? Because I've got some presents for people, okay? So you can win a present. So, and then Sunday night, we'll have the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I got presents for all the children, too. And so, but the kids are going to perform for us, and they're practicing, and it's going to be really good. So don't miss two times next Sunday. So it's going to be really sweet. And be in the cookie contest and sign up for some food, and we're going to have a good time. Amen. And then Danny will tell you all the schedule, because I just do what she says. I don't know what it is. So praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. See y'all Wednesday.